This is a sermon for the second week in a four-week stewardship theme. It's the theme for this week is release or letting go of the things that don't serve us anymore. And the scripture it reflects on is Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 22. Rabbi Levi saw a man running in the street and asked him, "Why do you run?" He replied, "I am running after my good fortune." So the rabbi tells him, "Silly man, your good fortune has been trying to chase you, but you are running too fast." Both that anecdote and today's gospel reading really pose two questions for us. What's the most important purpose or goal in our lives? And how do we go about successfully pursuing that goal? In the gospel reading, the young man is rich, but it isn't his riches that are the problem, at least not directly. It's that his riches are the one thing he can't let go of, not even for something that is, in theory, more important to him. Like the man who thinks he's running after his fortune, even though his running is actually sabotaging his long-term goals, the rich young man in the gospel is missing his goal because he's stuck on something else. And this is so very, very easy to do when it comes to matters of money in particular, because money can represent so many things. Power, freedom, security, pleasure, hope, the opportunity to express generosity to others, and so on. We can get stuck on particular ways of thinking or feeling about money, without even realizing that they're getting in the way of what we really want. Whether it's about how we juggle life's competing priorities, or the constraints of a scarcity mindset, or the isolation that comes when we don't know how to relate to others in our need, just as a few examples, it's easy to get stuck in patterns that ultimately don't serve us. We see that in the reading from Deuteronomy too, where the laws function as a way of constantly reminding people that the community, oriented to God and to each other, is a greater treasure and a greater source of support and hope than any personal wealth could ever be. Because without those laws, it's all too easy to fall into the trap of thinking money is the answer. And here, I think, is the invitation for us. Last week, we noted the importance of remembering what has shaped us and our patterns of relationship. This week, we look at release, or what some would call the spiritual practice of detachment, letting go of the ideas, attitudes, fears, and so on that don't serve us anymore in order to make room for a more abundant way of living. And that will set us up very nicely for next week, when we'll start to look at reimagining what God might be up to in and through us as a community. But I think it's very important to make clear that this is not about saying that money or having money or even liking money is bad, but that our attitudes to money, our emotional attachments and so on, aren't always as mature as maybe they could be. The aim is a healthy relationship with our resources, one where we can competently manage what we have, rather than either kind of frivolously mismanaging our efforts or being fearfully obsessed and controlling. And I do think that the core issue there is knowing what we're on about and what we're trying to achieve so that we can marshal our resources to that end. And that's just as true for us as a parish as it is for us as individuals. And here I'm going to change gear a little bit and encourage us to think corporately about our life as a parish rather than personally for a moment. There's a story I read a while ago, a true story about a wealthy young man who had donated $1.5 million to a local youth centre. The youth centre was fantastic, giving young people without many opportunities the skills and tools, and most importantly the hope, that transformed their lives. Now, the young man who gave this amazing gift was also a very committed and active Christian, in church every Sunday, involved in various activities and so forth. But when he was asked whether he would consider giving a gift the size of the $1.5 million he had just given to a secular cause to the church, his answer was, "Lord, no, they wouldn't know what to do with it." An extraordinarily generous gift to the youth centre changed lives. The same gift given to his church, he was afraid, would be met with incompetence and a lack of vision. So he didn't give anything like that to his church. And to the extent that his assessment of his church was correct, I'd say he was right in his decision. Money given to the church is supposed to be about fulfilling our mission, about changing lives by bringing people into encounter with God. And if we don't have a vision for doing that, or if we're not effective at doing it, why on earth would anyone want to give us money? Or how could I justify standing here and inviting you to give? Here's the thing. It's not that God wants you to give as if the church existed so that the vicar could have a comfortable house and we could turn the heaters on. Although the vicar is glad to have a comfortable house and that we can turn the heaters on. It's much more than that. It's that God wants us all to participate in the church as a community which makes a difference. A church which changes lives. A church which proclaims the good news of Jesus Christ. Which teaches and nurtures people in living relationships with God. A church which responds to human needs with loving service. And that takes our time and our skills and, yes, also our money. We don't give to keep the doors open. We give so that by keeping the doors open we can change lives. But all too often, even as a church, we get sidetracked from that fundamental vision. A bit like that man who's running thinking he's doing the right thing but he's actually running away from what he wants, you know. We end up getting sidetracked into thinking our priority is to keep our existing members comfortable and happy. Or that our priority is to maintain the existing social fabric of relationships in and around the church. Or to run beautiful liturgies with robust preaching and, of course, our preferred style of music. But if what we're doing isn't changing lives with a vibrant expression of the reign of God, then like the rich young man, we're hoarding our wealth for our own ends. So, this week we ponder what we need to release or let go or detach from. Individually, yes, but I would encourage you to think also as a parish. Because it's only in letting go of what's not furthering our purpose, our mission, that we'll be able to make room in our hearts and our minds and our budgets for what God might want to do.